Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Keith, you ready to trade some of these bums out of the wide receiver room? Let's trade them. Let's trade them. I'm so ready. If these guys were just a fraction of as good as they think they are, this team would be cooking with gas. This team would be one of the five best offenses in the league.
They'd have at least two wins.
They'd have a couple wins and maybe a couple more touchdowns.
I watched one game of KJ Osborne. I'm like, I'm so out on this guy.
I was out from Jump Street. This is not revisionist history. I did not like that. I was like, what is this? Like, this is the signing? Like, you wanted a true number one.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we got KJ Osborne. You're like, wasn't he the 3 or 4 in Minnesota?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not want KJ Osborne. I never wanted KJ Osborne, and now it sounds like KJ Osborne doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty safe assumption based on how things have gone over the last 24 hours. We talked about it at the tail end of Jones and Keefe yesterday here on WEEI. A lot of ways you can get in touch with the program today. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Lively chat, as always. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. So that was Mike Giardi last night on Boston Sports Tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Or I'm sorry, it might have been Early Edition. He was on NBC Sports Boston. And he said he and Chris Mason spoke with KJ Osborne. And I didn't realize this. It was interesting to hear Giardi tell the full story there. I didn't realize just the two of them were talking to Osborne.
Yep.
And he says, they ask, do you want to be traded? He laughs, and he says, that's like an alley-oop. More laughing.
Throw it down, big fella.
Yeah, more laughing later, adding, so today I'm here. You know, now it's kind of rock with it as it goes. I guess later on, and this is what Giardi just detailed, and I saw these comments later, which confused me. Later on, a bigger group, which happens sometimes in a locker room, Keith, you've been in there, you know, kind
sure
of a one-on-one is happening over here, and all of a sudden, like, a big herd starts building around.
Let me steal some quotes.
And so, I guess after he had talked for a while, he gets asked whether or not he wants to be in New England. He's like, yeah, well, of course. But after he had let the cat out of the bag.
I think the truth usually, like with Gerard Mayo, usually the truth is the first thing you say, and then you're like, no, that's actually not what I meant because I don't want to get in trouble.
So look, it's KJ Osborne who really cares at the end of the day.
Nobody.
Similar to Jalen Reagor and Tyquan Thornton, and even to a degree, you know, Javon Baker, Kayshon Booty had some comments yesterday. It's just, it underscores another challenge for Gerard Mayo and just the lawlessness on this team. They were teetering on a mutiny, said Evan Lazar, and people freaked out, and he doesn't know what he's talking
about.
Scrubbed
it from the internet.
The internet, in-house report, and like everything with this team that's happened on the field, in the locker room, has borne that out. It's a full-blown mutiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mess. Every single receiver has had some part of it as well, which is amazing.
It is.
And a couple of guys, like Kendrick Bourne, hasn't done anything wrong. Like, Kendrick Bourne hasn't called out the coaching staff, right? Kendrick Bourne hasn't done anything. He did have the comment last week, which is what got us down that road of what were they eating in London. He was the one that sort of started that and told, you know, guys should be in bed earlier or, you know, not up all night, that kind of thing. So he at least put it out there, and you know, there's some more questions, but you're like, all right, Kayshon Booty hasn't done much. You know, he had the line yesterday that the two deep balls he had to ask for, which is crazy because he hasn't dropped a pass all season. So those two are like, okay, it's something, but you put it to the side. Everybody else has gone to Instagram, has gone to a reporter, has gone to Twitter, has done something to complain about their role on the team, how good they are, and how they're not being utilized to the best of their abilities. That's everybody else. And it's insane because across the board, these guys, with the exception of Kendrick Bourne, haven't accomplished anything in the league. You have two rookies, you got a couple of second-year guys, a third-year guy.
Is that fair about Osborne's accomplished something in the league? No.
Oh, he's played in the league. That's fair. He's not a first or second year guy.
Yeah.
Or even third year guy.
Like, I mean, he's not very good, but he's at least a professional receiver.
Why do they have all these guys? They have way too many of
them.
So I could see being annoyed, being like, why are we, you know, fighting for five? None of them are that good, but they have them all on the roster because some of them are high picks. So they didn't want to cut Tyquan Thornton. They obviously just drafted Polk and Baker. Pop Douglas deserves to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So does Bourne. I don't know about Osborne. Booty's actually making a couple of plays on the field. But, like, what a mess. Like, what is that, six guys? Like, it's too many.
And that's just in the receiver room.
Just the receiver.
Six guys popping off. Never mind the rest of the team.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Booty comments. Here's what he had. Another thing Mayo's got to deal with. Kayshon Booty says he's had to ask for both the deep shots he was targeted on the last 2 weeks. Had to ask for them. Which he notes shouldn't have to happen, given that he hasn't dropped a pass all year. So it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So he's taking shots at.
He also has 8 catches.
Yeah.
So he hasn't dropped a pass.
Well, he's caught all 8.
No, he's been targeted 10 times. So obviously the other two weren't drops or catchable or whatever else it was. But so is that, you know, thinking about that again, is that, hey, Alex Van Pelt put me in a position to run these routes? Is that, hey, Drake May, like, I'm open, throw me the ball?
I think it's interesting. Like, KJ Osborne wants out. You saw that from his social media last week, and he obviously
has an inflated
sense of self.
Because apparently KJ Osborne was going to be a scratch in the London game. He wasn't a scratch. He ended up playing. Maybe he kind of mentally checked himself out, but he ended up playing or being active. And then because Pop Douglas had the trots, he ended up playing even more.
Yep.
And he scored a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And now he's still pissed off. Well, he got the end zone.
I love that the thing he posted the other week from his buddy or whatever. It wasn't his agent.
You're a good player.
That was, but he was also like, you're such a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the definition of a professional.
You should screenshot this and post it.
And then 3 days later, he's like,
I want out.
I want
alley-oop dunk.
It's an alley-oop. Like, what a joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the Kayshon Booty one I find more interesting.
Okay.
Like, Osborne wants out, fine. Kayshon Booty I find more interesting because, right, who's he mad at?
Who's that versus?
Who's that versus?
Who
Keith?
Is he going up against?
Is
here?
He upset at Drake May? He might be. Is he upset at Alex Van Pelt? That's probably the answer. And is he also taking a little shot at Jalen Polk? Like, there's a lot in those comments. He brings up the drops. He brings up the lack of targets. And yeah, he just seems angry at a lot of people. And
I think it's 100,
everybody down there is just a little too willing to speak their mind and take shots at somebody. And they're all taking shots at each other and pointing fingers at each other.
And it's October. You know, they've played 7 games.
Right.
They are on a 6-game losing streak, and it feels like it could be 7. And, like, where does it go? Like, it just continues to snowball for these guys. But, yeah, they haven't stopped. I don't know if it's – like, Booty's success has really been on 2 plays. 1 play, mainly. And that was all with Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I don't think he's...
You don't think he's taking a shot at Drake May?
Not really.
He's the one throwing the ball.
No, I know. But we also don't know, like, when he's out there, and he's gotten decent playing time, but how many is it, like, 5-yard curls? Or, like, I don't know what he's running. I haven't gone through the... I don't know what he's running every single play.
Even,
is he annoyed? Like, is it... And I'm the third read on this play?
Well,
that
that's
kind of
what
thing?
I was going to say.
Yeah,
yeah, if he's not running 5 yards down the field, he's running 20 yards down the field.
But
is
like
he the third
Henry
read?
Pop, Henry
exactly,
Pop.
Exactly.
He's like, how about you actually... scheme something up for me. Like, I'm getting open and I'm making plays and I'm making big plays.
I'm Kayshon Booty. I got money on myself.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, he's the only guy that has, you know, as far as like an average yards per catch, which is anything significant. You know, he only has 8 catches. So you don't want to get crazy, but 17 yards a catch, 17.4 is far and away the team lead.
So how does Mayo deal with this? And can Mayo fix
it? Right now
it
seems like he's just ignoring it,
like,
because it hasn't gone anywhere.
He tried to call him out for being soft. And it got worse.
No, he made things worse.
Before the game in London, he goes, we're going to bench people and we're going to make changes.
Raekwon McMillan.
They barely made changes.
Is that it?
I think
it was Raekwon McMillan was the guy, was the poster boy.
By the way,
their
leading tackler going into that game, they're like, let's bench him.
I don't know.
Sit down, Raekwon.
That'll show everybody.
We're going to make changes. They really don't.
Yeah, no.
They come out of the game more soft. And like, the players are getting more and more empowered, or just they care less about the repercussions. And I get it.
Nobody's happy, it seems.
Okay,
like.
But this, I think, is Mayo's fault.
Yeah.
Mayo's like, say what you want. Mayo hasn't held anyone accountable. Ramondre Stevenson fumbles for 4 straight weeks. He's like, ball security is job security. And he continues to keep his job. He stays out there.
Right.
You can say whatever you want in the media. They'll continue to roll you out there.
And
so why would you have any fear of repercussions? Like,
there hasn't been.
This one, I think, is Mayo's own fault. Like, I don't blame anyone else for this other than Jerod Mayo. You opened up the door. You have no line for discipline.
No.
And it gets worse every week. This is on you. And this is why, when we talk about his job security and his survival and whether or not he'll make it through the year and whether or not they have the right guy and blah, 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 this is why I think there is a chance he doesn't get through the year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's amazing to me that you could find a way to have every receiver pissed off. Like, think about it. The guys who play aren't getting the ball enough. The guys who don't play want to play. Some of the guys who are playing need more snaps or whatever. Like, they don't like the communication. Like, every one of them has some sort of gripe. I mean, maybe with the exception of Kendrick Bourne, right? I keep kind of throwing him in there. But everybody else seems to have a major gripe, and I don't know how they fix that. I thought maybe the change at quarterback should have been a shot in the arm for those guys. I mean, think about it. They had two touchdown catches as a receiving group, and one of them was Henry, right? So as a wide receiver group, there was one touchdown in five games. Mm-hmm. Since Drake May's come in, he's been spinning the ball all around. They have five touchdown passes. Another one to Henry, right? Or no, one was to Hooper, I should say. Brissett threw one to Hooper, so it was a tight end.
Oh, right.
And then May got one to Hunter Henry. But my point still, these guys are so much more involved in the offense now, you'd think it would be kind of...
They're still complaining.
Yeah, like more. Like, they're complaining more now over the last 2 weeks. You would have thought it would have been headed in the right direction based strictly on the offense getting a little bit of an uptick and a quarterback with a little bit of life to him.
So, what do they do, Keith? The deadline is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do? I mean,
I think it's one of these addition by subtraction. It's not even a like who you bring in, because you, I mean, in the game of buyers and sellers, you're clearly a seller. Now, you don't have a lot to sell. I'm not looking at it as, ooh, maybe you can get a pick and this, that. You're probably not going to get much.
KJ Osborne, I don't think you're getting anything.
But get rid of them.
Yes.
So I think get rid of some of these guys. That way, you know, it has to be Pop, Booty, Polk, and Baker. Like, those guys have to play more.
So you're getting rid of
Polk twice, but
you're getting rid of Bourne as well.
I would probably get rid of Bourne, as much as I like him, because right now you're like, oh, well, he's a veteran. How much have the veteran quote-unquote leaders helped to this point?
They have not.
Haven't at all.
I don't think this team has any veteran leadership. They don't have any leadership, no. And it doesn't feel like they have any veteran leadership.
So I would make my moves more to create other opportunities for guys. And right now you have six receivers, and I'm sure each week, like, Who are the last two active? Who are the last two that are inactive? Like, flip a coin. But, like, let's see what you have in the young guys. We talk all the time about you got to see what you have in Drake May this year, which is obviously the most important thing. But those receivers are right there, because you in the offseason should be really aggressive in bringing in a true number one. But what does the rest of that depth chart look like?
Thank you.
You have the rest of this year to figure that out. Is Pop and Polk the guys? Great. Maybe it's not. But let's figure that out.
Right. Is Kayshon Booty a guy you want going forward? Or is he not in your room? Is Javon Baker an NFL wide receiver?
Like, does
yes
Osborne
or
Bourne, and again, I separate those two as far as like how I think they both are, but do either of those guys factor in the future of the Patriots?
No.
I would say right now, no. The other guys, maybe. The other guys I'm not 100% sure on, let's see it.
You're getting rid of them for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get rid of KJ Osborne just because he's KJ Osborne,
like,
and you're a problem, and get the hell out of here.
Yep.
Okay? And I don't even care if I'd cut him. I don't even need anything for him.
Yeah, you might not get anything
for him.
Forget
trading him.
Right.
Cut him. I don't care.
Yep.
I mean, Robert Kraft probably cares. He's got to eat the money.
Yeah.
But I don't care about that. You're trading Kendrick Bourne to free up reps in the room.
Well, and what's funny is we'll see just how high up they'll go with sending a message, because I guess they have, in a way, sent a message when there was a disgruntled player and a guy that was sounding off in the locker room and then also on Instagram, Jalen Reagor. Yeah. Now, he is practice squad.
Barely, but yes, barely on the team. That was something they sent a message to, yeah.
But, like, see you later. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't give him, like, a ton of credit for that, but I'm just saying at least that was the guy that was doing some of the same stuff these other guys were doing, and he was gone. Now, did that change all these other guys and what they were doing? No, clearly not. But if KJ Osborne's the next one, and I'm sure... if he's telling Mike Giardi and Chris Mason that he wants to be traded, I'm sure he's saying stuff here and there throughout the locker room.
In the locker room.
Wouldn't he be another guy
in the locker room on the record?
That's an easy one.
Sitting there at his locker, not off the record whispering to a reporter, hey, KJ Osborne may want out.
I mean, they
on the record, sitting there at his locker with the whole rest of the media and team around, KJ Osborne.
Right.
Not Terrell Owens.
They only have
Randy Moss is demanding trades.
They have like five or six guys that you'd have to be like, oh, come on, bud. Like, we can't send a message and cut you. Everybody else, like, see you later.
As we're talking this out, you mentioned the Reagor one. I think people wanted to believe anyway. I don't think anybody really believed this. But people wanted to believe they showed toughness with Matthew Judon. They, like, drew a line in the sand and, like, oh, we're not going to let him, screw us over. Our way or the highway. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they traded him. I wonder if, looking back on that, Keith, that was the first real test for Jerod Mayo, and he failed it miserably. He failed it miserably. Like, Judon was out there showing him up in the middle of practice. He's sitting out there. He's on.
Well, it was a strange 48 hours, but I mean, they did get rid of him.
They eventually
did.
But it wasn't like, again, the immediacy of like Randy Moss acting out and he's traded on a Monday or whatever it was. You're traded the next day. There's something where it's like, oh, wow, you did that. You're gone. Not, oh, yeah, Judon wanted out and they finally got around to moving him. They gave him what he wanted. There wasn't a strong enough message there.
No, they're swimming in it. And Mayo's the classic guy that's on the boat that's sinking with the holes in it. And he's like plugging one hole, three more holes pop up behind him.
That's
and then
what
he's
it
like,
feels like.
He turns around, tries to stick those two, like five more come up.
That's what it feels like. And like Matthew Judon was a test.
Yeah.
And they failed.
He's killing it this year, by the way.
And since then, is he having a good year?
No, he has 1.5 sacks.
I was going to say, I didn't think
he's not at all.
I didn't think he was doing much.
he is not.
I feel like the very first game he played.
Did he have a sack in the first game?
Yeah,
maybe?
Or did he like deflect a pass that got intercepted? Something like that. He made a play.
I think it was both in that one.
Okay.
I think he might have.
He did make a play.
He's played in every game, and he
hasn't done a thing. And they've been on national TV a lot, and I haven't really noticed him.
Crickets.
Okay, whatever.
Not the point. I'm just saying.
I had no problem with training him. None. But the idea that you were going to like stand up to a player and it was my way or the highway, come on.
Yeah.
And they fail all of these tests, and now the players are just, we're 1-6. We don't even know if this coach is going to be here. Bill Belichick is second-guessing him on national TV, and you know what? We don't care. So how do you get that locker room back? Is the trade deadline an opportunity to do it? And Keith, you said they're obviously sellers? Not sure I totally agree.
Interesting.
I mean,
what do they do?
Could you add a piece a la the Bears last year, where they added Montez Sweat? They're not a very good team.
Yeah.
But they got a guy who they said, we like this player. We're going to sign him. We see him as a part of our future.
Yep.
You know, is there a player like that? Let me give you another one.
Is there a guy that you can bring in that, I guess, we always say this with like the Red Sox, but is there a guy that has a contract? Because a lot of times when guys get traded, they're like, I'll go and then I need a brand new contract.
But don't you have, so I don't know if the Crafts will do that, but they should.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get a jump on free agency. Find a player who's going to be a free agent that their team is souring on that you could get right now. Like, I'll give you another one. And it's a quarterback, and that's not what the Patriots need, but the Niners went out and got Jimmy Garoppolo.
They're
a bad team.
Yeah, right.
And they went out and got Jimmy Garoppolo. And so are there moves like that? And I never liked Jimmy G.
No.
But there are moves like that at the trade deadline where a bad team can add.
Well, we've seen three receivers just get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they all would have been perfect fits with the Patriots, but we just saw Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins. Boom, 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 boom. All go to contenders. You know, Cooper Kupp's name is popping up there.
Playing tonight. Get a look at him tonight.
He's nasty. Now, he's also a little bit older and injury prone. So, again, not the perfect fit here,
but
some of those guys will move.
Would he help a young quarterback?
100% he would. And that's why, I'm with you. I could see looking into that. But I just wonder, when you're talking about somebody as good as that, how willing would you be to trade your third or second or third round pick, which is going to be the first pick of the second round and the first pick of the third round, and then probably have to throw in a big contract? I wonder if they're more likely to wait out the season, see what's available in the offseason, and then hopefully spend big money. I mean, there's no guarantee they do that. But
look, subtracting guys out of the receiver room, they should do that. No questions asked, especially guys who are don't even want to be here, like KJ Osborne. Like that should be
that's
obvious.
An easy one.
That's an easy fix. If nobody wants to trade for him, then cut his ass. Like that should be easy.
I can answer that. Nobody's gonna want to trade for him.
Okay, well then cut him.
There's no
chance. What are you waiting? He should have already been cut. He should have been cut yesterday after those antics.
If DeAndre Hopkins went for a fifth, which I guess could become a fourth, what on earth is KJ Osborne?
How about a conditional seventh rounder in 2030?
Fine.
How about that?
I'll take it.
What's
the conditions? Tell me what these conditions are.
He has to save another life, like he did with Nelson.
That's true. I mean, I do appreciate him for doing that.
Me too.
That was very nice.
Good on you.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.